Hello everyone and welcome back. It's In the Know, brought to you by the Racing Post. On the eve of the best 4 days of flat racing, sure, Royal Ascot's the best 5 days of flat racing, but it's important to read the small print, isn't it? You could make an argument that York is the best festival of the year, full stop, and it certainly starts with a bang on day one, with the Aiken, with the Voltigeur, and of course, with the Juddmonte International, and a real battle of the generations, which is what you want to see, and a proper battle of the generations. None of this eclipse nonsense. Ombudsman versus Constitution River is going to be a proper ding-dong. We'll see whether we're going with the young up-and-comer, or the one who's been there, done that, and done it very impressively indeed. Again, the Aiken is on the list tomorrow as well. Slightly strange Aiken. You normally get a lot more exposed once-race types, but there's a lot of form to go on, but is it any good? That's the question. And of course, the Great Voltigeur as well. We've got a couple of old friends or horses I'm still slightly keeping the faith with, but will we see another St. Ledger contender emerge? Do we need another St. Ledger contender? It's looking like an absolute crackerjack of a renewal of that to come next month. And of course, we'll be here with you throughout the week and gearing up to, again, another fantastic race in the shape of the Ebor. Again, another race where I don't need any more horses on the shortlist. But the more I look at it, the more and more horses keep jumping out to me. People keep saying to me in the office, "Well, I fancy this for the Ebor. Stop tipping me horses in the Ebor. Don't need more. I don't need more." Anyway, get your Ebor tips in the chat. We'll have an interactive. Don't forget to like and subscribe as well. If you haven't subscribed to the Racing Post YouTube channel, quite frankly, why not? Don't tell me why not. Just do it. Just subscribe. It doesn't hurt you. You're not going to get any, you know, wild notifications or anything like that. It just helps us, just helps the numbers, feeds the algorithm. And I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. They're coming, soon we'll be obsolete. So let's get on the right side of them now. Anyway, who have we got for the week then? Starting off this week, to my left, it's Mr. Robbie Wilders, the anti-post himself. Hopefully with a few smug tickets, a few nice prices.
Yeah, we're Channel Fair, haven't we? We've got a nice couple bubbling under us, haven't we?
Any on day one that's in the wallet?
Well, I got on the man quite early, which has been gambled. Just think it's obviously a York horse. It's his day. If Rodders was here, as in he is here, as we saw from his dodgy-looking backpack.
Yeah, I could feel his presence.
Yeah, he's left a very peculiar bag around. We've done something dodgy's going on. Yeah. But yeah, the man is the big one for me tomorrow. We'll discuss that race quite shortly anyway, won't we?
Yeah, but you're hoping the man sticks it to them rather than the other way around.
Yeah, they are. Nice.
And again, York, there's been a dribble of rain around as well, which should take the sting out of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Feels like the first big meeting we've had any sort of rain in a long time. I'm seeing 17 mil on Thursday. That's going to be interesting. It's kind of refreshing and sort of living around here as well. I'm just so happy to see some rain. I left the pillars on the balcony. They took a bit of a battering last night, but I'm happy because there's been a drought. Look, you look at the fields everywhere, they're yellow.
Yeah.
Rain is needed for life to exist.
No, it's like working with Hannah Fry. It's lovely. I appreciate your scientific insight. Yeah, no, it's really good. Professor Robbie Wilders in the studio. Tom Siegel, do you have any wise scientific words for us ahead of a big week at York?
No, I was very impressed with Robbie there. He's, you know, it's like cutting edge analysis from the great man.
Yes, it really is. We haven't worked out, is water important? But Robbie Wilders will tell us. What's important for you ahead of a big week at York?
Bad bit of luck. It's like any meeting, isn't it? You just need things. The ball bounce your way. I mean, York's great, isn't it? Fantastic racing. Really looking forward to it. I mean, the race tomorrow is just like, you know, it's throwback day, isn't it? To the best three-year-old in the world running against the best older horse in the world. We don't really get that much these days, but we've had it a few times this year.
Yeah.
Had it in the King George as well, didn't we? So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, again, and maybe I'm just getting older as well, Tom, or maybe I'm going more like yourself, but the bread and butter stuff I sort of lose interest in it more and more each week, but the better stuff. In fact, I'm becoming Tom Siegel the older I get, because the good stuff, I get much more excited about the good stuff and much less excited about the bread and butter stuff. And that's your sort of,
that's my
taste,
game. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything, isn't it? It's like anything. You go and watch. I was going to say Reading there, but that's like watching Brighton races, isn't it? watching Chelsea.
Robbie's
in the thing. Chelsea versus, you know, Arsenal, or Chelsea versus Man City, or Barcelona, or Real Madrid. You get World Cup stuff. You know, you get excited about it. But if you go and watch Accrington Stanley play Reading, I presume anyone bar me switches off.
Yeah. Albeit, as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, it was I almost cried as I saw 3 points next to our next to us in the league table. I don't know if it's been longer between it raining or Sheffield Wednesday having 3 points in a league.
I was at Reading on Saturday and we were 3-1 up at half time and managed to lose 4-3. So don't mention football.
No. I mean, to be fair, you mentioned football, Tom. So
yeah, it's true.
Surely you gentlemen have got to go to a Red and Sheffield Wednesday game this season. That'd be nice.
We've already invited the great man.
Oh, have you?
Already invited him, yeah.
It is sort of, is it? I think it's next May, isn't it, Tom?
Guineas Day, probably.
So only a second in-person meeting, that'd be as well.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully I'll get invited to wherever Tom watches the match. I presume from a Gilded Throne. I don't know. But hello to everyone in the chat as well, to Destiny Sounds, to Daniel Valentine, to PM Race, to John Hall, to Tommy Daniels, to Romping Home, and to everyone else. I love the Ebor meeting, but I find it the trickiest of the big summer festivals to make money at. Hoping for a change of a look this year, says Tommy Daniels. Trevor Clark says the best course to go to. Yes, and I'm thrilled to bits to be in London for it this week. The Judmont betting could be critical, says John Hall. The big two are now closer in the market than ever before. It's very hard to call for me. Romping Home's very excited for York. And Tommy Daniel says Robbie sounded like Chancey Gardner from Being There, Peter Sellers' finest film. Again,
do not get that reference.
Me neither. Although I did watch the Peter Sellers film, the biopic, the other day with what's his name? Jeffrey Rush, I think. Very good, anyway. Very good. Should watch that. All right. Lovely stuff. Right. So, York day one, race one, then. And we have, it's going to be a long old week if the man is out of the frame for the man to my left. 5-1 favourite now. Corolla Point 6-1. Tocca Madeira 13-2. Lexington Blitz 15-2. Air Force 1 15-2. Nana Sparkle 8. And 10-1 Stratus 9. 11-1 Trefor. And bigger prices the rest. And we are here once again with a big York meeting kicking off with a big York sprint handicap. Normally I'd come to the Sprint King Tom Siegel, of course, for this first. But the man is looking incredibly well handicapped.
Oh, yes.
Incredibly well drawn. And hopefully, an incredible price for you, Anti-Post. But
yeah.
You're not the only one that spotted him, clearly.
No, it was kind of obvious, I guess. In terms of recent form figures, but in terms of his York form. I mean, he almost beat Trefor at this meeting in this race last season. Mm. And he won at the Dante meeting on his only other start at York. Actually, no, he ran in, I think it's the Westo Stakes as a youngster. But he's obviously a different horse now since he was gelded. Mm. It's just Mark's just come down a long way. I thought he might end up being a stakes horse after this race last year. It's not gone to plan. He spent some time in Maidan, etc. His last run at Goodwood was at least a little bit better. There was an excuse. He had a wound on his left hind. Richard Spencer won that race anyway with Twilight Calls. I don't think that was the big target. He's obviously campaigning geared around this. So I think he's the right favourite, even though you're looking at his form figures and thinking, well, is he the right favourite?
But yeah, your horses for courses again, and it's the only issue is there are a lot of nice horses in here, potentially well drawn, progressive types or well handicapped types. Mm. So I think it's it looks a warmer renewal than a few of the ones we've had.
Just all these York handicaps are good, aren't they?
Yeah. I wonder whether the drop of rain has probably, it's brought in a slightly fresh batch of sprinters into the mix potentially.
Yeah, interesting. You got to try and look for something else as well. Gold Star Hero caught my eye a little bit because he ran really well from the front against Tuco Salamanca over five at Ascot. I think there could be more to come from him at five. I thought he was interesting, but an awful lot you can make cases for, in fairness.
Yeah, he was actually the other one on my list. He's very, very fast.
Yep, and you need that at York.
Yeah, but you don't need that at Goodwood, Ascot, or 6 furlong soft ground at Epsom. So he's running, he's won 3 on the bounce. He's got up to marks in the 90s, but he doesn't look badly handicapped. He just looks like he's been running at the wrong tracks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Box 10, he's the.
And he's what, something like 25-1.
Yeah, which seems, yeah, it seemed a bit...
Seems all right.
Seems a bit big.
That's got an extra plices, extra plices, extra places.
Extra plices?
Extra plices.
Extra plices on the ad.
It's got an extra places Ross Brierley bet written all over it.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Although, again, just hard bound, 5 furlongs raises, life's too short.
To be fair, yeah, you always say.
I always
annoyed when you miss one.
Maybe if they're 25-1, I'd be annoyed, but that's my cut-off point.
Okay, you've got to have them.
That's my cut-off point. Right, Spring King Tom Siegel. Robbie's hoping that the man can put it up to him. What about you? What was on the list for you? You've got a tough day for a man who can only focus on the TV races. You've got quality or chaos, basically, haven't you?
Exactly. They're pricing it up like it's a totally low draw race, isn't it? I don't know. I've seen many York races. I mean, we've had Jack Ajero this week. We had Cool Angel in the last meeting here from 20 nearly win. I don't know if the draw is going to be that important. The Going Stick says the slowest ground's on the far side. One thing I would say is the Going Stick is saying the ground is pretty slow. 5.6. Now, that's good in York terms, but it's quite a fair bit slower than it was at the last meeting there, which was in the sixes. So who knows where the draw's going to be. I thought the best pace was Dark 30 and the horse you mentioned. So I'm going to go for a York specialist too, but it's drawn high. And if he was drawn low, I think he'd be favourite. Stratter's 9. Mm. I just think he'd be favourite if he was drawn low. He's drawn high. I don't know if the draw's going to be right or wrong for him, but he's raced against, I think it's 61 horses at York, and 3 have beaten him. And 2 of them were in 2-year-old races over 7 furlongs. And the only other time he got beaten here, he was drawn on the wrong side. I think Partizan Hero came up the stand side. That's another horse that was won from a high draw this season and beat him when he was drawn low. So I'm not worried about the draw. If the draw is low, then The Man and Tocca Madero and Lexington Blitz, all of those have got chances. But I think Stratus 9 is the best horse. I think he's the one in the best form. Whether he's the best handicapped, I don't know, but I know what I'm going to get from him. He's going to run a massive race at York, and at double-figure price, he'd do for me.
Yeah, he feels like one of those... He feels like a horse who might pop up in, what's the listed race at the back end of the season, at Doncaster, or something like that. You can see him progressing through the ranks into being a black-type performer. And like I said, so last 10 years, double-figure fields in sprints, top half of the draw, Tom, 4.5%. 4.57% just back in and blind, bottom half 8.04%. So there is quite a considerable difference between the top half and the bottom half. And but like you said, it's not impossible. And obviously price is a big thing. And I often find if they win from high as well, it's often like second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth are all drawn low, and then one just comes on its own down the line.
As you say, the vast majority of horses that are drawn low have win at your.
Am
I still there?
Yeah, we lost you for a second. You became a big green head, but you're back.
I took great delight in watching the Stewards' Cup draw live. I don't normally do that, but it just happened to be on the telly. And watching every single numpty go high and watching all the low numbers come first, second, third and fourth. And it just, people get it wrong every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Look, it might be low. Who knows? I'm sick of, the draw is a good tool after the race. I find it an impossible tool before the race, so I'm not going to care about it. And if for me, I'm just looking for the best horse, and I think Stratus 9 is it.
Yeah,
it's a much more chilled out way to live your life, not getting wrapped into the draw.
I agree, and I agree.
Or ground, or pace, or any of those things.
Who can run the fastest, Tom? Who's been best prepared? These are your ethos.
And I agree with you everywhere but the York sprint track. I agree with you at Goodwood. I agree with you at Ascot. I agree with you at literally every other track. Ponte the other day used to be a golden highway down the inside rail, and they've overwatered it, and all the high draws came off the rail and won. It can change everywhere. But it's York, yeah. Like I said, there are the occasional one, but it's more the fact that when it's low, it's low, you know, the first 7 home are low a lot of the time. So I would...
Could be. I mean, if that's the case, then that's the case. They're very short prices now. I mean, you know, the man's a very short price for a horse that hasn't actually done anything for quite a long time.
Yeah.
I was thinking if you go in with that approach, then you're kind of chilled if there is a big draw bias. Because you're like, oh, this happens. but you're not going to kick yourself.
Well, yeah, and similarly the other way, like in the sense of if I'm, you know, if I do a play spot or whatever tomorrow, because it might pay all right with the big fields and stuff, I'll just put low drawn horses in, and there's no point. You, whatever angle you take, you've got to stick to it. You can't sort of
deviate.
Yeah, well, you can't dilute it, can you? Exactly. You either ignore the draw or you have certain things where you follow it. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you're right, you're right.
Well said.
The worst thing you can do, I think, is go, yeah, but you know, I've put three lows, but I've also put three drawn horse, high draw horse, and I've backed this. Well, you've just got to find your angle and stick to it, I guess.
Agreed.
And then stubbornly stick to it, even though you might have proven wrong. I don't know, maybe. Philip Clayton says, has TS been peering over my shoulder? Tom, have you?
Yes, who was that?
He's peering over a lot of people's shoulders. That's Philip Clayton and Craig Rudder.
Philip, I've been over your shoulder, pal.
Yeah, there you go. straight down the middle is the norm at the Knavesmire. There you go. Fair enough. Ignore the whole thing. And David from Leeds thinks Trefor for the repeat. And Cy Tyson says, yeah, well said, Ross. Thumbs up. I don't know what that's necessarily in relation to, Cy, but I'll take it. I'll take every one of those I can get as we go on, because there'll be plenty of the opposite to balance it out. Okay, the Acom Stakes then for the Juvenile. 7 furlongs, Group 3 here, and Hafner is 13-8 favourite. Down in grade, Trian 4-1, Alfred Wallace 6-1, Gentle Hurricane 6-1, Confucius 10-1, Stardom Glory 12-1, Fuel the Jet 16s with Vega King. And then you've also got Big Cigar, Superb, and Clash of Hearts in the mix as well. But yes, rather a, like I was saying, Tom, rather an odd look in Acom this year, because you often have your one run, one win types who get very. We'll get talked up and improve. I think only once in the past 20 years has a horse won this off the back of a defeat from sort of 36, 37 runners. Only once in the past 10 years has a horse with three or more runs won it. It is often a race where your impressive novice and maiden winners turn up and battle it out. This year looks completely different, though.
Well, yeah, it does. It does. I mean, as you say, there's Hafner's probably got the best form, has he? But I don't think it's by much. I mean, the Goodwood race, I think, was probably quite a good one. I like the winner. I thought the winner was so superior that with a clear run, I think he would have won by 3 or 4 lengths. And then would Hafner be 13-8 then? I don't know. Probably. He might be. He's obviously an Aidan O'Brien horse, very well bred. He's got the widest draw as well. I don't know. I just thought 13-8 was plenty short enough, considering he got beaten last time. Trian was impressive at Galway, for sure. Beat a couple of O'Brien horses, and Paddy Toomey's been talking him up as though he's very, very good. I don't know what happened the time before. I quite like Gentle Hurricane. I thought he would look quite good at Salisbury. He's obviously the Gowan line in, being an Andrew Balding one-time maiden winner. The fact he's running here obviously suggests he's a lot better than he was the form or the time suggest at Salisbury, and he could easily take the step forward. The one I like is Alfred Wallace, actually, the most exposed horse in the field, but I think he's the one that's improving the fastest. I think he might be the one that's getting better the quickest. He's had 5 runs, I know, but he was totally different at Ascot last time to what he'd done before. He was held up that day, which might have suited him at Ascot and might not suit him so well at York. But I just love the way he did it. I thought he was miles the best. The second horse ran very well at France on Saturday, behind the horse that Christopher Head says is the greatest horse that's ever lived. And I just think he's getting better. And I love his pedigree, Dubawi out of Snow Lantern. Don't think it's a great race. I think he's improving. I think he's quite fast. And he will do for me.
Alfred Wallace then, who got himself out of a bit of trouble last time at Ascot and won pretty cosily for Ed Walker and Kieran Schumacher again, and also connections who've done well in the past here at York with similar types. They won they've got the good record in the Lowther, haven't they, Ed Walker? Similar juveniles. Hafner 13-8. I guess it's understandable in the sense of this is an O'Brien horse who's bolted up in a maiden and got beat in a Group 2, admittedly in a blanket finish, but this is a Group 3. It is a step.
It's not that exciting, is it?
It's not. No, I agree. It's not that exciting.
It's one of those.
Yeah,
horses like that.
You wouldn't be in any way surprised if it won by 3/4 a length, but I kind of don't want it to. I want something else to come out of the pack.
Nah, it'd be quite a boring winner, I think.
Yeah.
We don't like boring winners on In the Know.
No, we don't. So give
but
us something.
You've got to try and take him on. Like Tom said, Dr. Rascal was valued to win that by a good bit further. Don't know how good he is compared to Aiden's other juveniles. Maybe he's just the one that's most ready at the moment. Mm.
Until the line in winter, he had a shocking record in this race. So he always had the feeling that he didn't send his best ones here anyway.
Yeah, he never really kicked on, did he? But that's a chat for another day. I had a real good look at Trian Antipost. He's about 12-1. I went for a Richard Hannon horse, wasn't declared instead.
Oh,
so I missed that. But I do really like the horse. I love Paddy Toomey. Mm-hmm. He's an eye-catcher in his debut over 6 furlongs, looking like he needed another furlong fastest finisher. And then he ran a stinker, but a lot of Paddy Toomey's horses around that period were running poorly. And he's had horses come out and prove that all wrong.
It was his two-year-old. He came back 2 weeks after his debut, and then he had a month off after that. So I wonder
whether it's got to be significant, isn't it?
Came too soon, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's by Bayside Boy. The dam stayed further. 7 furlongs is his trip for now. He'll probably get further later in the season or next season. I think he's most interesting in a pretty weak Acom. Do respect what Tom says about Alfred Wallace, though, for sure. That was an awful lot better last time at Ascot, and he's awfully well bred as a dam being Snow Lantern. So I think they're the two most interesting runners. I'll take the view that Hafner is one I want to get beaten.
Okay. Hafner 13-8 shot. A couple more to mention. I mean, one, obviously, Gentle Hurricane is one of them, Tom, because, I mean, it was a crawl at Salisbury. He didn't win by that far. He hit the line hard. He looked a big baby. But the fact that just that Andrew Balding had just clearly... In contrast to Aidan O'Brien, I think Andrew Balding does target this race with a good type.
Yeah, well, he clearly does, doesn't he? And the point is the fact that, I mean, Andrew Balding is now in the top echelons of trainers we have, haven't he? You put him up there with Gosdens and Applebees and Pagasus, don't you? They're the four probably top dogs. And if he's targeting one at this race and has a good record in it, having won it with Chaldean as well as Gowan in recent years, then you've got to take notice. He could easily, I mean, they're not brilliant, are they? And you can only win a slowly run race over 6 furlongs by 2.5 lengths or whatever you've done. You know, you can't win it by miles, can you? You can't win races like that by miles. It's just not physically possible. So he could easily be the one, couldn't he? He could easily be the one. I just, you know, when I was doing it, Alfred Wallace was a bit bigger price, and I just thought he has much better form, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And at the prices, he was the one I went for, but I could easily see Gentle Hurricane being one. And what was your other one?
The other one I was interested in was Vega King, who travelled all over them on debut at Ayr, but got beat by 3 experienced horses. But he was the last one off the bridle, and he just didn't know what to do with himself. And they travelled like a dream at Beverley last time. I almost got caught over a stiff 7.5. But again, the cruising speed, time very good. The second, I mean, there's bolted a bit of 2-horse race, so you can't really take that as a form franking, although the first race has worked out well. But yeah, good time. Obviously, Carl Burke, Clifford Lee at York. The dam is related to some nice types. Balsam Aljora, Stormy Atlantic, Antarctic, all were group class juveniles as well. So he's just the speed figure last time out, and his cruising speed and his connections. I just thought he has to improve, but he's more of an Acom type. How many Acom winners have said, I'll have to improve, and they just do. And I like the way he went through his races.
Yeah, I mean, I get he's Carl Burke as well, isn't it? He's got a load of good 2-year-olds. One thing, Gentle Hurricane's very well bred. His dam, Marsh Daisy, was a listed winner and liked a bit of soft ground by Pivotal, I think. And just could see him being the one that takes the big step forward. But, you know, Alfred Morris has actually got better form. But I get your Vega King thing. I think he's probably going to make the running, isn't he? And that could be an advantage. We all know that can be an advantage. But it always depends on... I mean, we always say that about York. But so many horses win from behind as well, because it depends when you start racing. It's the same as any race. You watch the European Athletics Championships. If you go a furlong, you go a lap too soon, you never win, do you? So we'll see what happens. But I wanted to take on Hafner, even though it's Aidan O'Brien. I just thought the price is... Trian's clearly improving, got a chance, but I thought Alfred Rollis was the value, really.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's have a look. Shocking winning of the Acom, says Matt Jennings. Unless we knock in a big prize winner, in which case it's a great renewal. I like the form of Fuel the Jets two races, says JP Pigiano. Decent prospects come from each of its races. The trainer's not for wanting running horses in this this race. Also, yeah, I mean, the Tom Clover's been having a crack in you as well. It's been interesting to see if that one takes a step forward. So that's the Acomb Stakes. Before we move on, Tom, what do you call someone, what do you call a writer in a military vehicle underwater?
Don't know, you're going to have to tell me.
Subscribe.
Ah, very good, Ross.
Subscribe, that's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of incredible.
That's what got you to the Edinburgh Festival, wasn't it?
Oh, that'd win Joke of the Year, wouldn't it? I mean, just that's caught off the top of my head. That's the kind of convoluted nonsense I can conjure up like that. Subscribe. And that's and then if you don't subscribe, I'm going to do one every show this week.
Oh, no. Subscribe, please. So subscribe.
There you go. Right, let's move on then to the Voltager, shall we, and see if we can get another Ledger contender in the mix. Even with that off the table, it's still a very strong renewal of this race, with Maltese Cross 2-1 favoured ahead of Christmas Day at 11-4. Pierre Bonnard is 11-4, Superior Choice 11-2, Gallian 12s, and Antigua is a 100-1 outsider of the bunch. I wonder what role he'll be taking in this race. Who knows? But Maltese Cross is the market leader, Group 1 winner last time out. Of course, we've got a Derby winner in here in the shape of Christmas Day. But again, yeah, last year, Robbie, of course, we also had a Derby winner in this, and he was beaten out of sight in the shape of Lamborn. Maltese Cross is a strange one. He's because he never wins by very far. I think it's quite hard to work out how good he is or could be.
But he would have won by far in the Grand Prix de Paris with anything like a clear run.
True, fair
point. I thought he was by far the best horse in that race. And I thought that looked an all right Grand Prix de Paris, to be honest. But it's very trappy. You got the top three have all run RPRs of 119 last time. And I guess you could argue Pierre Bonnard is getting the £5, so that's got to count for something. I'm just struggling to split them, to be honest.
Yeah. This race has got the... It's a trap. Keeps going off in the back of my brain. It's a trap, this race. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those York races.
You don't have to have a bet in it.
No, although I think I might, but partly because I think it's the form book is possibly a bit of a trap. So, but
right.
But where
is this trap you're alluding to?
Well, I think, again, just because you're looking at Maltese Cross is the best. I think there's the Superior Choice and Gallian are still improvers to me. I mean, Gallian's partly I'm still clinging on to
I was just really annoyed he didn't win that at Newmarket, though.
I know, me too. But the angle for Gallian, I think, is that he's still a baby. He only made his debut in April.
All
of these ran as juveniles. They've all had much more experience. He still doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. I still think he'll be better as a four-year-old.
Yep.
But he's having his fifth race of his career. Maltese Cross is having his fifth race of the year and raced twice as a juvenile. Mm. And I do think these types, there's a big experience gap there, and it's going to get caught up eventually. I mean, the other one Superior Choice. I did like that last time out. I don't think he beat a great deal, but he ran, it was a big eye catcher last year. He beat some good horses at Leicester, and he just did it. He did it in a strong time in the blink of an eye at Hamilton. So I don't know. I genuinely
just
a step up though.
It's just a big step up.
It is, yeah. But I think any of those five could win it.
You don't love Shane Foley though, do you?
No, that's fair. Albeit he has.
Sorry if you're watching the show.
Ridden this horse plenty. It's just nothing against Shane.
Nah, it's just knowledge of the tracks.
It's just this thing of having, you want everything to your advantage in the best races, and I don't think flying in for
it's
ride,
not prudent preparation, is it?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I just think it's very hard to turn up and go, all right, lads.
Massively, yeah.
Just me one
I
ride.
I need to adjust, I need to recalibrate.
Yeah, so I don't know, that is a
no, I get it, I get it.
But he has been on board for the last two, at least. What about Pierre Bonnard?
Interesting, yeah, I thought he was going to clean up. I backed him for the Derby last season, thinking I was on a good ticket at 14-1, and then it was just not a Derby horse. But don't know, maybe he's one of those Aiden horses that just brilliant as a juvenile, just a bit slow to get going, comes alive in the autumn. Mm. I could see it. I could see a lot of different outcomes in this race.
Yeah.
And I just don't think any... So you do make a good case about Galleon at those prices, because this horse I've followed very closely, like yourself. I just think it's one to really enjoy and not get too involved in that.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess the thing, even now, I'm saying a nickel minute, but you're right. Maybe PR. Do you subscribe to the notion that some horses are spring horses, some horses are autumn horses? I mean, he did hit his stride in the autumn last year.
Yeah. Is there something in that? Maybe the way they've been prepared, but he's been prepared to have a big summer as well.
Yeah.
He's been aggressively campaigned. But yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of fast ground throughout the season. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't totally give up on him. It's a real riddle to me.
Yeah. Any other five? Any five of six could win it, Tom. Unless you fancy a trip to Antigua, but probably not.
I definitely fancy a trip to Antigua.
Oh, yes. Sure.
If Antigua wins, I'll take you.
I'll hold you to that. It's your walk at the end of the day.
Yeah, that is a fair point. What did you think of the Voltigia?
I'm really looking forward to it. What a great race. You know, first and second in the Derby, third in the Irish Derby with a couple of improvers in against him. I personally don't think Galleon's quite good enough, but he's got to take a big step forward for me, because I think he's been running in races that are a lot less that aren't as good as this. But Andrew Balding's got a very high opinion of him. He's got a great record at York, Andrew Balding. We all know his horses love it there, so I wouldn't definitely put it past him. I think he's about the right price. Superior Choice has to take the step up, but he's a 1-1 horse that's very well bred by Debarwi, trained by John Gosden. He could make it, but I do think Maltese Cross is the one, probably. I just think he's getting better. Every run he seems to get better. He did something, I slightly disagree with Robbie. I thought the Grand Prix de Paris was an absolute load of old rubbish. But I did think he did really well to win and showed a side to him that I wasn't expecting. He looked like a slugger before, didn't he? A bit of a lummox. Mm-hmm. A high-class lummox, before I get in trouble. But one that took a time to get going. But he showed attributes that I didn't think he had. He slid through tight gaps and, you know, showed a turn of foot that I wasn't sure he had. I think he's improving. Tom Marquand's always maintained that he's a much quicker horse than people give it credit for. And I just think it might be his day. Now, the Haggis horses have been a bit hit or miss of late. And I know when Maureen came on the telly the other day, she said some of them aren't looking great and some of them are this, some of them are that. And they're a bit worried about them. But I do think he's the horse on the up. I'm surprised Ryan Moore's riding Christmas Day, if truth be told. I wasn't expecting that. I thought he'd ride Pierre Bonnard, because there's nothing between them on their Irish Derby run. And Pierre Bonnard's obviously getting £5 here, but he's clearly chosen Christmas Day, which surprised me. I thought Pierre Bonnard was the one, but he does have a bit of the night about him, Pierre Bonnard, doesn't he? He's a bit dodgy, that one, for me. He's by Camelot, and I just wondered whether he's... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just looks a bit on edge the whole time, Pierre Bonnard. So I would watch him at York before backing him, that's for sure. I'd watch to see how he was before backing him. I do think, all things being equal, Maltese Cross might win this. Although, if the rain arrives overnight, and there is some forecast, not much, but some, and it was on the softer side of good, then Christmas Day has to come into it, because he's very, very solid, isn't he? People have said he's this, that, and the other, but he won a trial in Ireland. He was third in the Dante when he went on the other here, and when he went on the wrong side of the track, didn't he? He's won the Derby, and he's been second in the Irish Derby. So while he's sort of maligned as a below-par Derby winner, he's done a lot right this season. And he'll do a lot right again. I just have a feeling that Maltese Cross might be the one tomorrow, but it's not, as Robbie said, it's not a race I'm going to be playing in.
No, fair enough. It is an absolute, it's a very good renewal. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and it is, but again, and it is one of those York races where a furlong from home, I reckon whichever horse you back to, at some point you're going to think, aye, we're in with a chance here.
Yeah.
Because it does feel like that sort of race. And it was a bit that sort of race last year, and the Ledger was a bit sort of that race last year. That's what makes these races so good. Mm. Intriguing. But I know what you mean about it. I think Galleon will be better next year. but
you backed him for the Ledger, haven't you?
Yeah, that's partly why I want. Yeah, I'm trying a glimmer of something. Even if he gets beat half a length, then we because he is behind the.
It's all a bonus.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. All a bonus. Anything over hurdles is a bonus. That sort of thing.
That's a loyal phrase, isn't it, Jesus?
In Racing Post, ratings really like him, don't they? They think that the form's a lot better than I think it is. So, yeah. You know, they've only got him 3 points behind Pierre Bonnard, despite getting beaten in a Group 3 last time when Pierre Bonnard ran in a Group 1. So they think the form... Hello, doggy. They think the form of the Pointer Light Law race is very good. I'm not totally convinced. I'm not sure that His Majesty and Her Majesty would have got rid of Pointer Law if they thought he was going to win the St. Ledger. Yeah, but they have.
That is true, although obviously someone thinks it's good form because they must have paid a hell of a lot of money for him as well. So
yeah.
But
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure they needed it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
The King and Queen is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it's, you know, cost of living. It's hitting us all, Tom.
Yeah.
It's hitting us all. Even
royalty.
Even King Charles. My boy's at a party in Spain. I'm not listening, but yeah, what Ross said. It's early free food, DJ on a hotel terrace. It isn't bad, except for I'm missing York. Again, Mike, invite us next time out. We'll do the show from where you are. Let's have a look. Christmas Day runs here en route to being a pacemaker in the Ark, says Rob Dixon.
Sorry, is it York in the Sun, is it? Is he at York in the Sun or whatever they do at Cheltenham? What's that, Cheltenham on the...
Oh, yeah, possibly, yeah. Maybe they're doing whatever Spanish for Ebor is over in Magaluf or something, maybe. Ebor, yeah. Voltage is a trial, beware, he says Billy. And Lee Richardson says Maltese Cross ran a cracker in the Derby on ground. He hated and would have bolted in France of a clearer run. For me, he's a class horse. You make a good case, actually, Lee, to be fair to you. And CC Baxter says Ross marks out of 10 for Alley Cats. CC, I watched a 30-second clip. I'd rather brush my teeth with a blowtorch. No, thank you.
I was expecting a bit more from a Gervais production.
Were you? Have you not seen any of his other stuff?
Well, I've seen The Office and Extras, mate, and they are top-class shows, pal.
So. Oh, right, I must have been watching different stuff. Right, moving on then to the...
disagree massively.
The big race of the day, the big race of the week as well, possibly. The Judmont International Ombudsman taking on Constitution River. And again, in the chat earlier, the market is starting to not maybe go off Ombudsman or come towards Constitution River or certainly think that they might be set for a right old set too. Even money Ombudsman, Constitution River 6-4. Item is 7-1. Again, another horse who's we've got a proper York horse up against those two as well. Al-Makam is 14-1. Hawk Mountain 16s, 20-1. Zaydan 40-1. Pride of Arras and Action and Devil's Advocate are battling it out for who can go fastest. Up towards the home bend and then fade. Potentially, although... I forget the name of the
Castle.
Burcastle, yeah. That was... Shout out to Bell there for quite the run on that one last year. Ombudsman, been there, bloody well done that, Tom. Constitution River, I mean, to be fair, he's been there and he's done it as well. There are 2 years between them. On official ratings, there are what? £8, £7 between Ombudsman and Constitution River in the weights today. It is you can make an incredible case for either of them, and I wouldn't disagree with you necessarily. So I'm interested to see who you're going to make a good case for.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to make a good case for either. I think it's incredibly difficult to predict. I mean, Ombudsman's clearly got the best form. He likes York. He's a wonderful horse, one of the best we've seen for many years. He loves 10 furlongs. He's what's not to like about him? I just have a feeling Constitution River might beat him. And I'm struggling to put into words why I think that's going to be. I just think he's got the X factor. He hasn't, on form and what he's beaten and what he's done, I don't think he's in the vicinity of Ombudsman yet. But it's just the way he does it. It's sort of like watching, you know, the great athletes from the European Championship. He just looks a bit different. He's just got a bit of swagger about him. And I do think that he's an absolute superstar racehorse. So he's going to have to improve, for me, good £5 to get anywhere near Ombudsman on his best form. But I just think he might do it. He's a three-year-old getting better. I thought his run at Sandown last time was by far his best. I know the form wasn't up to much, but I thought he did just love the way he quickened again after he looked, when looking at the way the race was run, I thought the two that were held up right out the back were going to come and give him a real race, you know, a furlong and a half out. And then he quickened again and went clear again. I just like him. I love him as a horse. I want him to win because I like a three-year-old duffing up the older horses, making it look like, or vice versa. But I just like him. So I'm going for Constitution River with no great confidence because Ombudsman is such a great horse. I do think Item and comes into it, and as we all know, I'm Al Makam's favourite, biggest fan. I just think he's just a fantastic looking horse. Him, amazing athlete. But if it rained, I'd give him a chance. But I didn't think he performed to his best at York last time. Whereas Item is 2 from 2 over the course. And he's won the Dante and the whatever it was the other day, the Group 2 the other day. So he's got high-class form. I think he's got a step up to beat the other two. But I don't think he's out of it, given his York prowess. I wasn't going to use that word, but that's a good one. I'm glad I found it. Given his York prowess. So he's in it, but I do think Constitution River is the one I want to win. I've just been a fan of his since day one. I just think he's got just something about him that excites me. So I'm hoping he wins, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Hobmansman wins by 5.
Interesting, they skipped Sandown Wind Hobmansman, so they skipped the matchup with Constitution River. I mean, he beat Delacroix in this last year, who officially was better than Constitution River is this year. Mm. I don't know. Again, I have absolutely no interest in putting money down on this race because I just want to sit there with a big smile on my face and see what happens.
Well, I have put money down for us.
Right, fair enough.
So you enjoy yourself, mate. You have your great voltage bets. I'll have my...
All right, deal.
I'll have my job, mum, but...
And I'll stand behind you watching it and I'll go, Robbie, yours is going well here. And put
I'm
the markers on it.
I'm exploring alternate markets about one.
All right, okay.
About Hawk Mountain.
Without the front four?
I think this is a very good horse.
Okay.
Who, if he is trained by anyone else, will be ridden to win a race. I'm not saying they're not trying to win with him, but he's been running in races that are run to suit Constitution River, not himself.
Yeah.
So sitting very close to that ridiculous pace in the Eclipse.
Yeah.
There is a very good horse in there, I think. He's just not been seen to best effect in the Jockey Club or the Eclipse. I don't think there's much between him and Item and what they've done, but the prices don't say that. Al Makam. Obviously, they always want off the ground. To be fair, the rain is going to help him. But Hawk Mountain's one I've had my eye on for something this season. Myself and producer Sam are on him for the Champion Stakes later in the season. I feel like that might be his day. He really came alive last autumn. Mm. I think there's a really good horse in there, and I'm keen to have him on side in alternative markets for all I respect the big two.
Yeah, you could see Constitution River maybe, or one, you could see them splitting Irish Champion and Champion and maybe going to...
He's a bit of a forgotten three-year-old in Ballydoyle, I think.
Yeah, fair.
Because he's been running against Constitution River, but those races have been run to suit him more than Hall Mountain.
So...
It's just the problem is they have the power to... But they've got another front-runner in action.
Yeah.
And you've got... there was Advocate in there to set the pace.
I certainly agree with you that he's... In terms of raw ability, I mean, Item's... probably half his price because of the York factor.
Yeah.
I agree on raw ability. They should be closer together.
Yeah.
And again, the York factor also means that, you know, Constitution River has to come.
Yeah, you've got to go
come
and prove
here and do it.
I mean, I feel like the two Ballydoyle horses have proved that they can act on a variety of different tracks, to be honest. I was just looking for a way in. And that was, I couldn't find one in the Voltager, that was my way in. And obviously, a bit like your Galleon Ledger bet, I've kind of got a vested interest long term in this horse. So if he ran well, I'd be happy, because I think there will be a day where he turns up with Ryan Moore on when Constitution River isn't running and he'll run a big race in a big Group 1.
Yeah, fair enough. But obviously, you want to see him maintain that form here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Vince Nett, Hawk Mountain is 4-1 without the front two.
I'm aware, my friend. It's on the radar.
It's very much on the radar. Rothwell David says Ombudsman, obviously. Hawk Mountain each way if it rains, says Ian Sunderland. And the Gang of Three O'Brien entries will dictate the way the race is run, but that won't detract from the favourites' chances, I feel. And Aidan Kelly in full cap says, the postman's on the ball. Hawk Mountain each way is a good bet. Probably get good odds on the exchange because the top three will be backed. So there you go.
The question I've got, Ross, is, I fully agree with what everyone says about this Hawk Mountain. I can't believe that there's any chance on God's earth that the O'Brien team are going to run. You're going to want him to win after his, you know, they're going to want, they're going to set him up. He's going to be ridden for Constitution River, whatever. Now, maybe it will still work out for him, but there's no way he's running on his merits, I don't think. He's running for Constitution River to be at the best he can be.
Agree, though, Tom, that Hawk River, when Ryan Moore is on and he's ridden to his merits, is capable of winning a very good Group 1 at some point?
I don't know if he can win a very good one, but he can win one, for sure. Yeah, he can win one, yeah.
Yeah, he's got the air of a future Globetrotter. Do you know what I mean? He'll be off around.
So not Champions Day.
Yeah, no, he could do if it was maybe. Very soft ground. Anything can win the Champions Stakes on very soft ground.
True. Before we move on, the chances of Al Maka, because I do think you could make an argument that, you know, he came back with a bang at the Curragh. He then came back only a few weeks later to run on very fast ground at Ombudsman's Backyard at Ascot. I know he was beaten by world champion last year at the track, but he still run pretty. He didn't seem to hate the track. World champion just sprang out of the ground and won the next couple of his career as well. So is there an argument that actually he could come back to that Curragh form and get involved?
Well, he's as everyone knows what I think about him. I love him. I think he's a great horse. I don't think York will suit him. I think he'll need rain, definitely. But I didn't like him when he ran at York. I thought that was his one performance where he didn't do anything. He looked like he was going to quicken and he didn't. He could bounce back. He's a very, very good horse. Let's not forget he has beaten Ombudsman. He beat him in the Brigadier Gerard last year. So he's top class too. If it rains a bit, if the ground was a lot softer than everyone thinks, I think he could finish third for sure. But I will be surprised if the big two don't dominate. I think they're really top class horses, and you know, I think they're the best in the world. That's what I think. I think Ombudsman's the best older horse, and I think Constitution River's the best 3-year old on turf anywhere. So I think it's an absolute fascinating matchup, and I'll be surprised if anything else gets involved, really.
And we want to see top class horses come back and repeat those performances on the track time and time again. And to be fair, Destiny Sound says Royal Champion has one of the best track times over this course and distance, and maybe Al Maka just ran into a proper York course on that occasion, but who knows. That's the big one tomorrow. Let's hope that it lives up to its billing. We've got three more to get involved in on day one of the Ebor meeting. Over 2 miles and half a furlong here for the Stayers Handicap. Small Fry, 5-2. Kirchner, 9-2. Valedictory is 11-2. Shrimp Shady is 9-1. Team Player, 10s. Ride the Thunder, 10s. Mountain Road, 12s. Maxman, 16s. And bigger prices, the rest. Is this race on the telly? Yes, it is, which means Tom Seager will have had a look at it. Have you tipped anything, Tom? And if not, why not?
Yes, I have. So the answer to your second question is redundant.
Yeah, fair enough. So what's so in that case, I'll pose a different question. What have you tipped and why?
Well, obviously the top two in the market have obvious chances. Small Fry was a bit unlucky at Goodwood last time. Got typically one of those Goodwood races where you don't want to be one back on the rail at Goodwood, where if they go too fast, they drop back in your face and then you have to come round the field, and that's what happened. He might have won with a bit of luck. He's clearly got a chance. Kirshner's a big improver. Typically, I was on him the time before when he didn't quite get past the line, the stars in the Northumberland Plate, but he ran a cracker. I think he's improving. He's got Ryan Moore on. I thought there was a couple in there. Manxman, if he bounced back, I don't really like backing horses in competitive races that haven't run all season. It's not. I used to do it all the time, but I found I never won. You know, the times they win is far outweighed by the times that they finish down the field. So I was slightly. I mean, I like him, but I don't like him. I wouldn't. I like Valedictory a bit. That's the one I tipped.
Oh, that's interesting. Because so do I. And I was kind of looking at it and thinking I was going to make a case for him, and I thought this is just the type of horse that other people will be like, "What have you seen there?" But I agree.
Yeah, I just think there's two reasons. One, he's got blinkers on. Three reasons. Two, he's going up in trip. Four reasons, Ross. I keep finding reasons while I'm thinking. It's amazing. The third reason is that he was very well backed to win that Goodwood race that Small Fi ran in last time. I'm a big believer in the market. I think the signals in the market tell you what people actually know about these horses. And the fourth thing is, and probably the most important thing for me, is that the ground's going to be a lot softer than he's been running on of late. He's a cracksman that hits the ground hard. I think he's been crying out for a bit of give in the ground. Now, I don't know how soft it's going to be at York. It's good at the moment, 5.8, 5.6 or whatever. I think that's slightly on the slow side of good, maybe. I think that'll suit him perfectly. I think there's more to come from him. I liked him at Newmarket when he won. Once again, I think the ground was too quick for him that day. But I just think he's one of those Gosden horses that is going to keep on improving, and the step up to 2 miles will suit him, as will the ground conditions. So I don't know if that tallies with what you were thinking about him, but that's my reasons for fancying him.
Yeah, I mean, partly just because I just know he's a good horse, and I've been sort of following him since that Wyandot Seed defeat at Ascot. I thought, crikey, this is a good race, and I mean, yeah. I wish I'd followed it more than I had, really, because it's a very good race. Yeah. But I agree, he just looked a bit tap for toe. He didn't quite look on his best last time out, but I don't know. It's sort of like, oh, he was a bit disappointed. And I guess he was to a certain extent, but it was a tougher race. I don't know. I just watched it back and thought he just didn't quite have the pace of the ones up front. He didn't seem in the right position to me. The blinkers on, obviously, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking your Trawlermans and your similar types of Gosden Godolphin horses coming here and relishing York as well. I just think that turning to the home straight at York and just galloping over 2 miles is going to suit him much better than Goodwood last time out, even though he's won there before. But he won there on slower ground earlier in the year. So I just think he just looked like he got a bit outspeeded, and I think he's a talented stayer. So yeah, hopefully the blinkers and...
He's a bit better off the weights too, isn't he? He's 4 or 5 pounds better off at the weights too with the favourite. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I did think, like I said, it felt like one that got away for a Small Fry, whereas I feel like Valedictory just... Yeah, on a different day, at a different track, which we've got tomorrow, I thought they would come a little bit closer together. So, yeah, again, it's hard, isn't it, Tom, sometimes, because when you're like, I just fancy this horse to run better, it's hard sometimes to put it into...
I think, well, for me, it's the ground's the key. He's a big, poundy cracksman horse. You remember Cracksman used to love the mud at Ascot himself, you know what I mean? I just think that fast ground has been catching him out a bit. I don't think he quickens properly. If you watch his action, he's very roundy poundy. He hits the ground hard. He's a big old unit.
Yeah.
I just think that maybe he's a bit better than we showed. I thought, as you say, when he won at Goodwood and he was impressive, that was the first time he'd run with some give in the ground, and I wonder if that's the key to him.
Yeah. And that was the first time he wore cheap boots as well, and switching up headgear might well just freshen him up a bit. Mr. Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, I think we focus on the right two horses here. I think that Goodwood staying race is very strong, very good on the clock, wasn't it? And I got on board Small Fry last week, thinking 4-1. In theory, that is quite short for the handicap like this, but we know the trend that we've been speaking about these very short price favourites and handicaps. And he had the profile of one that could go off short, and here he is. Could have won that race on another day. He definitely won't mind the rain. His best form was at ease in the ground when he was trained by Gary Moore.
If anything, I'm surprised by how well he's been handling fast ground.
Yeah, exactly. So he just has to run well. But I think the biggest threat is, as we've discussed, Valedictory. By Cracksman, as you obviously alluded to, different surface, different headgear. He's the sort of horse, you wouldn't be shocked if he was following the kind of Sweet William route that ended up in decent staying races next season.
Yeah.
So he's the one I'm absolutely scared of, and I'd be tempted with some sort of reverse forecast with those two, because I think they are by far the two most interesting horses. I'm not as keen on what Kirchner's done compared to Valedictory.
Fair enough. There you go. Yeah. And there is an opening at the top level for a stayer at the Gosdens as well now, of course, obviously. So.
Yeah, farewell Trawlerman.
Yeah.
So Sweet William.
Yeah,
and Sweet Williams.
Good point.
The position is open.
The position is vacant. So, fill it if you want some.
Yeah, let's hope that he does. Right, last couple at York tomorrow then. 5 furlongs for the three-year-olds up next. Nana's Shadow, 130. Manatee Memas, 13-2. Zane Primus, 7s. Schrodinger's Cat, 15-2. Mystery Chance, 15-2. Poetan is 9s. 10-1 Old is Gold. And Underwriter and Bigger Prices the rest. Sprint King, Tom Siegel. This one wasn't on the telly, but that means you've probably got more chance of just looking at it, having a glance and picking out the winner. So take it away.
Underwriter.
Okay.
Okay. There
make you your go. Case for us.
In the insurance markets?
Just he's a very good. He's a tracker horse of mine. I watched him at Ascot last time. First run for Michael Keady, is it?
Yep.
And he was a highly rated horse for Archie Watson as a young horse, wasn't he? And all sort of the wheels came off. But his first run last time was a big eye catcher. He might have won what was a good race at Ascot. I can't, you know, he got hampered a couple of times and then had to wait for a run and flew home to be fourth. Just looks like a horse that has refound his mojo again. You'll have to tell me where he's drawn, but...
he's drawn in box three, Tom, which obviously for you doesn't matter, but for me is a positive.
Yeah, for you it's a positive, for me it doesn't matter. But where, and obviously Nana's Shadow is getting better. She's drawn on the other side. I did know that, didn't she? She's drawn in 15 or somewhere, isn't she?
Nana's Shadow's drawn in 15, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So she?
She
is improving fast, and she was really good at Goodwood last time. She could win again. And Manatee Memas is one of those horses that just looked really good on his debut, but sort of struggled, sort of was overrated on that. Not overrated, but was sort of in the handicapper's consciousness because of that runaway win, and he's maybe taken a few more runs to sort of reach his level, and he could go well after a good run last time as well. So those are my three against the field, but I'll be on Underwriter just because I liked his run at Ascot last time.
All right, okay. You like his claims.
Very good.
Wow.
There you go. Robbie, what have you got?
I've bet Manatee Memas for the reasons sort of stated above, really. I never really associated with David O'Mara of having like impressive maiden winners first time out, and that's exactly what he did. And then he ran really well in a listed race at York next time. That hasn't worked out too badly. Then he got lost at Sandown, and then he came back out and ran a really nice race in a handicap at this track behind Nana's Shadow. Much better off with her on that form, much better off with her on the Goodwood form as well. And I just think this track is going to suit him more than Goodwood will. First time tongue tie, whether that implies an underlying issue, maybe that there's reasons why that might be able to improve him. He's just a sort of horse that I think he's on a good mark, and he is going to show it, whether it's this season or next season, it will happen eventually, because this is what David O'Mara does with these kind of horses.
Yeah.
And at those odds, I like him.
All right. Manatee Memas then gets the seal of approval for Robbie. I thought, again, 5 furlongs, but the one that, again, Miss Your Chance fits into the exactly the same thing we said about Gold Star Hero earlier. Ascot, Goodwood, she's got bags of early toe. Neither of those races were ideal for her. She stuck around for a long time last time out, actually, despite setting it up for the closers. Drawn in 7. Again, this track is just going to be better for her. She'll be in the place spot perm at the very least. So,
nice.
There you go.
So you're still in it by then, mate.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, otherwise,
it's
going to be absolutely irrelevant by that point. Old is Golden Underwriter for me, says Philip Clayton. In the last, then, the nursery to close out the card, the 520. Again, really, really open stuff, as you would expect, for the cash on the table. Dubai Champion, 130. Dancing Pirate, 13-2. Ruler's Pride, 8. Havana Sprite, 8. Henley on Thames, 8. 11-1. God Given Talent, bigger prices the rest. Speaking of God Given Talent, Robbie Wilder's. What did you
There's
have?
No talent here, mate. It's all blacking. Well, race post race card. Who's top on top speed? Who's top on race post ratings? The same horse, Henley on Thames. Decent price. Won an impressive time at Hamilton last time. More to come over this trip, I think. And very solid each way.
Okay.
From what we hope is a nice draw in stall 6. But if he's not drawn in the wrong place, I'm not going to moan about it.
No.
We'll just mark him up or mark him down or whatever.
You're going to take your medicine
on.
Either way.
I'll take my medicine. I'll back him at that price.
All right. Henley on Thames, then. It is.
Maybe fine. That was too succinct, but...
I loved it.
I'll roll with it.
Given that it's bang on 7 o'clock, it was perfect.
Thank you.
Tom, what do you got?
I was floating down the river at Henley-on-Thames on only 2 weeks off last week.
Oh, lovely.
That would be a topical
one. In a boat?
Yes, it was in a boat, yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
I wasn't fished out by the fire brigade.
What sort of boat, though? Kayak? What? Yacht?
It could be a going down the river going, this is lovely, sir, you can't be in the river.
I was on a boat, Ross, yeah. Henley-on-Thames. He's got a good chance. Also, like the one for the Bathsheba boxer pants, boxer shorts brigade,
yeah.
The dancing pirate.
Yeah,
thought he ran a good race. He ran a better race than his finishing position would suggest at Goodwood last time. Very well back that day. I think there's more to come from York. Will suit him. Andrew Balding, great record at York. So they would be my two.
All right. Okay. I had two on the shortlist, neither of them you mentioned, but one is Havana Sprite, who, mm-hmm. just keeps winning. James Tate's horse is in fantastic form. I thought she was much the best last time out. It did, kind of rolled about a bit. She was a bit keen. She did a lot wrong and still won. And again, her dam ran once here at this track, Sprite. She was a really good race mare for Carl Burke and won by about six lengths. So I think that she, you know, Havana Grey out of Sprite just screams York horse to me. And I'd have to have a little saver on Persian Spring back to York as well, who got stopped in his run a couple of times under Jamie Spencer last time out at Goodwood, ran in the Norfolk, which I didn't think was the right race for him at all. But he's really impressive over this course and distance. Hannon Domps, drawn for big price again. So
should have known there'd be a Hannon selection.
And Hannon at York, I have no idea. I wrote again earlier on in the year. For some reason, Richard Hannon at York, his record is phenomenal. I'm going to quickly.
Richard Hannon can do it anywhere he wants, mate.
He can do it anywhere he wants, yeah.
But he can come in here and do a job.
But get him in as a pundit. If you're watching, Richard, let's have a look. At
come on,
York.
Come on.
At York, quick, where are you?
Come on,
you,
Ross.
Richard? Where are you, Richard?
The clock's ticking.
I'm panicking.
We could get a boat trip down the Henley-on-Thames by the time you get this stat.
Last last 2 years, Richard Hannon, 48 runners at York, 9 winners, 22 places.
Okay, that's good at York, isn't
it? That is good at York. He's got a 9... He almost has as good a strike rate as William Haggas at York, and William Haggas is the York trainer for everyone, isn't it? So...
Understood. I like it.
So there you go. Right. Lovely stuff. Okay. That's day one. Let's quickly check the chat for anything in the last few before we go. Ryan Moore saying on board you by champion is good enough for me. Ombudsman is the Nat Pazisi Baxter. I'm not giving up on Savage Mariner to hug a good price, as JP Pigiano. Right. Subscribe. Do it. Thank you.
Let me tell you, there are a lot worse things you subscribe to. I mean, Netflix is about £20 now. I don't think it's worth that compared to Racing Post membership.
It's not worth it. Exactly. This is free.
And YouTube is free, pal. Yeah.
Albeit, I would say that YouTube Premium is a much better use of your money than Netflix, because I there's only so many adverts I can watch.
It's unbearable.
It is unbearable. Anyway, let's get the naps, shall we, on day one. I think it's quite a tough one to pick out a nap, but you two are probably going to disagree with me. So we'll start with you, Robbie Wiles.
Oh, why not? The man, 150 at York.
Get it out of the way early. Tom?
Valedictory, I think, for me.
Okay, fair enough, Valedictory. It is a tough one.
I like the case you made for the Cole Burke horse in the Acom, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. He's not sort of like nap material, but I do think he is very overpriced. So let's go for a bit of Vega King in the
Acom
to win a big race.
Perfect.
Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night. Paul Keighley will be with us. Robbie Wilders will be having an early night. Bless him. He needs his beauty sleep.
He does.
And thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.